If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The word comfort, he always uses it as a derivative of paraclete. The paracletos is the Holy Spirit. Jesus identifies him as the one who stands alongside. When he writes in the book of 2 Corinthians, he takes paraclete and he parses the verb through many different tenses. He said, those of us that have received comfort, first person proper, he says we are to be comforting. Are you hearing me? He's using it as a gerund. That's something we keep doing. He says, and we are to give comfort based on how we received it, paraclete says. So not only am I a recipient of comfort, I am a giver of comfort. However, they were all with the para prefix. Means come alongside. But this comfort really means exhort. And exhorting doesn't mean lift them up and make them feel good. It means straighten their behavior so they can meet the qualifications of the preceding passages. Exhortation means that I see you doing wrong, so I'm going to exhort you to do it. Our parents, my parents exhorted me to do good in school. Mama would tell my father, and my father would exhort me to do well in school. His exhortations were physical. But I stand before you, a pastor, and not a career criminal, because my parents exhorted me. I went to Graterford to preach, and while I was walking down the long aisle, you know, they stamp your hand when you go to Graterford, and if they can't see that stamp, you ain't getting out. I had them stamp my hand, and I made sure nobody shook my hand, touched my hand. I didn't even wash my hand. I ain't even go to the bathroom. I said, I ain't washing my hand. I'm getting out of this place. I carried my Bible in that hand, and I said, Lord, watch over this hand in the name of Jesus. Because I ain't had no prison ministry. And as I'm walking down the street, a man comes up to me out of my peripheral vision. I saw him coming. And when he walked up alongside of me, he said, hey, Eric. And I turned and looked, and oh, my God, it was someone I grew up with. I said, what in the world are you doing here? He said, it's very simple. Your parents beat you. Mine didn't. In my mind, I secretly began to thank my mother and father that that exhortation kept me from having that ministry. Do you know that God loves you so much that today I'm going to exhort you? Ushers, see if you can find a broom, break the handle in half, and slide it through the doorknobs so the doors can't open. The Apostle Paul says that the Lord is coming back to take us away. But I need to ask you, what kind of people is he taking away? Will he come back for lukewarm Christians who give God one service a week and the heck with the rest of the time, and those who will not adhere to the principles of the Word of God? Or is he coming back for a certain group of people who are so on fire for God that they can't get enough of church? Is he coming back for people who squander the benefit of Holy Communion and decide, I just ain't coming back, I don't feel like it? Or will he come back for people who say, you know what, I'm commanded to come to communion and I will fulfill that command? You see, we pull at God to do things for us. And in the context of prayer, we want God to meet our needs, to heal our body, to fill our wallets and pocketbooks. We want God to give us 65-inch color televisions. We want God to fix our cable. We actually pray when the cable is out, Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch it. And then the Holy Spirit speaks back. I told you to get Netflix, but you didn't listen. But that's another sermon. But I call your attention to the fact that this, what we call rapture, we've seen over in Psalm 119 that the word is true. And if that has merit, then what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4 must be true. Jesus is coming. He is not the soon coming king. He is the king that's soon to come. I am sure that anyone in their right theological mind, clearly thinking, must admit that Jesus is coming back. So that is not my question today. I'm sure if you're in your right mind, and I can look at you and tell that you are, so how can you tell? You're color coordinated. Your hair is combed. You got your nails did. You see, if you're losing your mind, the first thing that goes is personal appearance. You don't care if your breath stinks. You don't care if you have on, clothes that are disheveled and mismatched. You wear a wool coat on days like today. But I don't see any of you like that. So I'm going to decide you're in your right mind. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? With the doctrine of eternal salvation, we have been led to believe that there's nothing we need to do. Salvation is not a salvation of works. It is one of grace through faith. And God, it's almost as if we're being suggested that, it's being suggested that God doesn't care what you do. He's just going to accept and receive you anyway. But I'm sent today to tell you that that is qualitatively wrong. That there's a life that goes with this thing that does not consist of money and good health singularly. That those are the byproducts of true holiness. God has not called us to intertwine with the world. In fact, when you go back as far as Genesis, you'll find that God has always given separate instructions to his people. Even as they came into the promised land, he gave them separate instructions so that they would not be sucked into the vortex of ungodly nations. The Ten Commandments was not just a list of God's rules, but it was to combat, to fight against the rules of the Babylonian kingdom. They had their code of the Hammurabi, and God said, you're not going to live by that. You're going to live by this. And Paul, again, bringing in his Old Testament teaching, and when he writes to the church at Philippi, he says to them, our citizenship is in heaven. Therefore, while we do adhere to the constitution of this great nation, while those who are not saved must stop with the constitution, you and I have the word of God to override man's statement. For you and I, for the rest of this world, when the Supreme Court rules, that's it. They're the highest court in the world, in the land. When they rule, that's it. But for you and I, when the Supreme Court rules, we say, I'm taking it to God. Because we're in another country. Lord, have mercy. When the doctor and the second opinion and the third opinion agree that the condition will result in death, you can be like the woman with the issue of blood and say, if I could touch the hem of his garment, if I have to be like Bartimaeus and say, Jesus, thou son of David. I don't have to bow to the will of a world that has declared war on God. God is the final. His voice is the final voice. His word is the final authority. Woman by the name of Hannah had gone to the OBGYN. He said, there's a blockage in your fallopian tubes. Probably when you were born, you had some kind of infection. You'll never have a child. I can't help you. She went to the fertilization specialist at Jefferson and said, y'all have to help me. They did all the tests and tried to walk her through all the things she could do to conceive, but nothing worked. She decided to go to the temple, and she talked to the one who made her fallopian tubes. She talked to the one who made her womb, her uterus, her internal plumbing. He made it. She said, I want a child. He said, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Zap. Samuel came out. I submit to you that not only did she have a child, she had a prophet. Because when you go to God, he doesn't just give you something. He gives you something with a purpose.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
7117P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
The BDIFC 2017 convocation is almost here. Come worship with us at Bethel Deliverance International Church on Tuesday, September 12th through Friday, September 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. On the final night, Saturday, September 16th at 5 o'clock p.m., join us for a special youth and young adult service.
This holy convocation will feature afternoon workshops and an encouraging word from the Lord through the following preachers: Co-Pastor Susie Owens of Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church, Bishop David Evans of Bethany Baptist Church, Reverend Deborah Crawley of Childs Memorial Baptist Church, and our very own Pastor Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. To register for the afternoon workshops, visit the Holy Convocation table in the lobby or register online at BethelDeliverance.org.